One thing that works good about me, and that's my forgetter. But anyway, it's good to be back together. It really is. You know, I've talked about how God works and how God brings our lives together, and I'm thankful that I had the opportunity years ago. I don't know what year that was, but I was in Jackson, went over to Little Rock, preached for Brother Mosier, and Brother and Sister Alls was there. I didn't know them, and they didn't know me. They knew my dad and mother. But anyway, the next morning, we went back to the service, and he came to me, and he wanted to know if I knew A.J. Fortner. I said, well, I don't know A.J., but I know H.A., and he's my dad. So come to find out, it's the same man that they knew. And from that, we got to come here, and we had some great times here. And my wife is sorry she couldn't come. We're sorry that she couldn't. But anyway, we have some pleasant memories of this place, and it's been a blessing to be back. And since we were here, we have a completely new ministry. When I was here, I was pastor of the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Jackson. I went there in 74 and organized the church there and stayed there 10 years. And then the church sent me over to Trenton and went over there with 6 people. And the Lord's blessed the work, and we have He built a church. All we do is just preach the Word. Amen. Thank God for that. I love the Word of God. The further I go, the sweeter it gets. And if you'll preach God's Word, He'll bless it. And so the Lord has given us a good ministry. And we got the church organized in 90. Built the first building in 1990. And then in 1997, we built the second building, which was Sunday school rooms and fellowship area. And we're still there. They haven't thrown us out yet. But we bring you greetings tonight from the Real Baptist Church. Our desire is that we might be a blessing. It was our blessing to be with Brother and Sister Reynolds down in Mississippi. And we had a good time down there, and we learned to love them and appreciate them, as he said he did us. It's good to meet new people, and wherever I go, I tell the folks this: I'm glad to meet some more of my brothers and sisters. Amen. That's a blessing, and we just rejoice in this. And I was in Texas a few days ago, and I made mention of that. I said I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to meet some more of my brothers and sisters, and so it's good to be back with you and to see those of you who I saw before, and even meet new ones. And so we desire your prayers. We're here to be a blessing. I'd be better off to go home if I can't be a blessing. I want to be a help and just pray for us. We're just a sinner saved by God's grace and called to preach His Word. And we love His Word, and we want to use it and give it to you as He gives it to us. So just remember us daily that we can just be what God wants us to be. That's what our desire is. And we'd like to invite your attention tonight to the book of Judges, chapter number 7. Judges, chapter number 7. You're familiar with this lesson. It's how God used Gideon to do a tremendous job. We want to start reading verse number 15, Judges chapter 7. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into 3 companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand, with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I will, and all the people that are with me, Then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host of the host, and the host fled to Beth Shittah and to Zareth, and to the border of Abel-Mehol and to Taberah. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Beth-Barah and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto the Beth-Barah and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. They slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the wine press of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side Jordan. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to be here tonight. Thank you for all that you've done for us. We ask you, Lord, now to help us. We're here to be a blessing. I pray, God, that you would just take us in your hands and mold us and make us what you have us to be. God, I pray that you would speak through these feeble lips of clay, the message you have for us to deliver. God, I pray for liberty, that you just take us in thy hands, and God, that you'll illuminate my mind, that I might be able to think clearly, be able to rightly divide thy word of truth. And God, just speak to our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, I'd like to call your attention to verse number 21 for our thought tonight. And they stood, every man in his place round about the camp, and all the hosts ran and cried and fled. I want to talk to you tonight for a few minutes on the subject of every man in his place. I'm thankful to have a place in God's service. Like I said a while ago, you know, we have the last two churches that we've pastored. The Lord used us to build the church. He does the building. We just simply our instruments in his hands. But anyway, we've had the privilege of working with two new works, and it's a blessing. And tonight, I can truly say that it's good to be in my place. I know where my place is, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that every one of us have a place. You know, somebody said, well, I'm a member of this church, but I don't have a job. I don't have a place. Well, we do. Every person has a place. Every person has a job, and we just want to be faithful. That's what God wants. He wants us to be faithful in His service. And so it's a blessing. You know, people come and people go. I know for a fact that I preached with two men here in Independence that are gone now. They've gone on to be with the Lord. So, you see, time changes things. But I'm thankful to continue to be able to be here once again tonight and stand in my place. And one of these days, if the Lord doesn't come back, then I'll be out of the picture. But as long as I'm in the race, I want to run and do a good job by the grace of the Lord. Okay, now then, as we think about this lesson, you know, here we go back into the previous chapters, and after the death of Joshua, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. We have in verse chapter 4, verse number 1, the people did evil. Chapter 3, verse 12, and also chapter 6, and verse number 1, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of Midian 7 years. All right. So he sent the Lord sent the punishment upon them because of their wickedness. And then we see here in verse number 7 that the people cried out unto the Lord. It came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. Then God sent a man. You know, I'm so thankful that regardless of the situation, God always has a man to deliver His people. It's been that way from the beginning. I'm thankful for that. Like I said, I'm thankful to have a place in God's service. You know, when God began to deal with me about preaching, my dad was a preacher. And I was a teenage boy in the Western High School over just across the river in Kentucky, over in Fulton County, Kentucky. And as a lad, God began to deal with in my heart about preaching the Word of God. And I thought, well, Lord, why should I preach? My dad's a preacher. Well, you see, my dad's been off the scene ever since 1975. And the Lord has seen fit to leave me here. In other words, I'm older right now than my dad was when he died. So, and my dad had been out of the ministry more or less for some time. But anyway, the point is, you see, I'm just thankful for a place. I have a place to serve the Lord, and it's a joy and a blessing to stand in my place. I can't be someone else, you know, in my early ministry. I had some heroes. And maybe some of you remember Brother Chilton Garner. He was a hero of mine. He preached the first revival for my dad. And I'll never forget him. In fact, I still visit his widow. She's there in Paducah, Kentucky. And I still go there regularly, every few months, and visit with her because I appreciate their ministry. But anyway, when I started preaching, I wanted to be like these fellas. And I wanted to be a good preacher. But I learned that I had to be myself. I just had to be Tom Fortner. You know, and that's what I've tried to be down through the years. And today, you know, people know me. Some people call me Brother Tom. Some people call me Brother Fortner. Some people call me Old Tom Fortner. But anyway, you know, we're thankful to have a place in God's service. And that's such a joy. And so we just praise the Lord tonight from whom all blessings flow. So God has always had a man to deliver His people. Now we see, as we look into this lesson tonight, that we know, first of all, that Gideon sought the will of God. That's what Brother Reynolds was talking about a while ago. It's a blessing to seek God's will. And I can tell you that God has a place for us, and it's no secret. I mean, He makes it real to you. I know, as I said, you know, when I left Jackson and had a good church, I didn't have to leave. In fact, they didn't want me to leave. But I felt like that I should. But anyway, then we went over to Trenton. And as Brother Reynolds was talking a while ago about faith. You know, my wife and I have tried to live by faith for years. But I tell you, we've learned some great lessons there in Trenton. Well, of course, as we went there, it's just a mission. And now it's a church. Well, we've learned some great lessons. We've learned to live by faith because we went there with nothing. I mean with nothing. As I was telling Brother Reynolds today, the house that we're living in is over 100 years old. And my wife and Jennifer had always wanted an old house. And God gave us one. But anyway, you see, when I went there, I tried to rent the house. But it was vacant, and I didn't see any reason, in any way I could buy a house. And so I went there to rent it, and the banker wanted to sell it to me. And I said, I can't buy it. He said, why can't you? I said, well, there's two simple reasons. Number one, I don't have any money. And number two, I don't even have an income. But anyway, he called me and told me that they're going to sell me the house and with me with no money. But anyway, you see, God knows what He's doing. Amen? I mean, I was honest with Him. I didn't have any money. Didn't have any income. I mean, I had given the church there at Jackson 30 days notice, and my 30 days ran out, and that was it. But anyway, we've learned to live by faith. It's exciting. Folks, it's exciting to live by faith. And the point is, you know, all God wants us to do is to be in His will. If we, you know, when we find God's will, that's all we need to know. And I was talking to someone the other day about the ministry, you know, and about going from one church to another. And I never, when I went to a church, I didn't ask them what they was going to do for me. I had one thing in mind I wanted to find out, is that God's will? We're talking about God's will. Gideon, he wanted God's will to be done, and that's been my case in my ministry. I just wanted to know the will of God. I knew if I found God's will, He'd take care of me. And He always has. And so we're excited. And you see, that house that we thought we couldn't buy, the Lord just simply gave it to us. But anyway, I won't get into all that, how He did it, but because we went through some serious times and some sad times. We had a fire. And anyway, it turned that it was a blessing because we was able to take the money and so on and pay the debt off. And so the house was free to us. But anyway, the point I'm trying to say is it's just a matter of being in the will of God. And so Gideon, you see, he sought the will of God. We notice here in Judges chapter 6 and verse 16, "And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." Folks, that's all we need. If God is with us, that's all we need. You see, if He takes care of us, what a blessing. Verse 17, "And He said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me." So Gideon sought the will of God. He asked for a sign. You're familiar with that. He gave us the sign there in verses 36 through 40. You know, by laying the fleece out and praying that the fleece would be wet and be dry all around. And that happened. The next time he reversed it and said, we'll lay the fleece out and let it be dry on the fleece and wet all around. And it was. And so, you see, we just simply need to ask God what He wants us to do and then wait for Him to give directions. You know, many people today, they get ahead of the Lord and they go out of the will of God. You see, God wants us to find His will and then wait for His direction. You know, think about Ahimaaz in 2 Samuel 18. He was the guy that could run so fast. And so, you see, Cushai had a message to deliver, but Ahimaaz wanted to run. And so they said, well, take off. And so he took off running. He outran Cushai, but when he got there, he didn't have a message. And so they said, what's the message? They said, I hadn't got one. So they set him aside, and here came Cushai after a while, but he had the message. So anyway, we need to, whenever God lets us know what He wants us to do, we need to wait for His instructions. And I tell you, when you go, like I said before, when you go in the will of God, He takes care of it. And so, like I said, I've pastored six churches. I've been pastoring, preaching for 47 years. I've had six churches. And every one of them, I knew in my heart that's what God wanted. If I had to go back and relive my life, I'd have to do it just like I did it, because I felt like I went where I needed to go, and I felt like I left when I needed to leave. It wasn't easy, and I want you to know it's hard to make some moves. You know, I guess when I left Kentucky and went to Tennessee was the hardest move I'd made, because I had some teenage boys. Teenage girl and teenage boys, and they didn't appreciate going from Kentucky to Tennessee. You know, Kentucky had fast basketball and Tennessee drug around, and they didn't like that. But anyway, well, the point is, you see, I had a job to do. God opened the door and I had to go. And so, when he leads, it works out, and God took care of it. And because the problem with the boys was one of them was lost, another was backslidden. Well, when they got right with God, everything was okay. Now then, but what I'm saying, it's hard. And by the way, people need to pray for their preacher, because it's not easy for a preacher to pull up stakes and go in a new place. But anyway, whenever God's in it, it works. And I'm thankful for that. Now then, so you, as we think about that, you see there's a place for every child of God. I'm thankful for that. Every one of us have a place. Every one of us have a service to do. Now, the question is tonight, what do God's people have to do to get in the right place? Think about that. You see, God only uses dedicated people. You see, first of all, these people had to give up their idols. We see that in chapter 6 and verse number 25. He said, "And it came to pass with the same night, the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and cut and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it." So they had to do away with their idols. And you know, that's true today. We need to give up our idols. You know, people go, they say, well, I don't have any idols. And they're thinking about some kind of statue or something. But listen, anything that comes between us and serving God can become an idol. And we need to get it out of the way. You know, just say, Lord, here am I. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to go where you want me to go, and I want to say what you want me to say. And so it's a blessing. Now then, and so we need to be willing to give up anything that will become between us and serving God. You know, God gave us a good example in 2 Chronicles 7:14. We use that in the at revival times many times. And God said, if my People are called my name, so humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. So we're grateful that all we have to do is just simply turn unto God, and He's able to take care of us, willing to take care of us. Now we find also that Gideon, he also destroyed the altar of Baal. We see that in verses 27 and 28 here in chapter number 6. Then Gideon took the 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cut down, or cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. All right, so they did away with the altar of Baal. You know, we need to destroy anything the hinders. I like what the Apostle Paul said, or the writer of Hebrews, I believe it's Paul, but anyway, the writer of Hebrews in chapter number 12, and look at verse number 1. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So God wants us to get away, rid of anything that would hinder, anything that hold us back. You know, my brother Jim used to, when he was in high school, he ran in the track. Jim was a short fella, but anyway, he was a good runner. But anyway, he's talked to me a lot of times since then about running, you know, and we get things about the Apostle Paul. Without a doubt, Apostle Paul was an athlete. I mean, he wrote about fighting, he wrote about running, he wrote about wrestling, and he wrote about gaining the prize and so on. But anyway, Jim said in running, you know, that they put weights on them and they trained with weights. But when the time came for them to run the race, they took all the weights off where they could give their best. And so that's what God wants us, to cast everything aside. All the weights. There's many things that hold us down. Many things that hinder us in the race of God. We just need to cast aside everything that would hinder us and give God our best. Give God all that we have. And you know, that's what happened there in Trenton. When I went to Trenton, Tennessee, as I said, the church in Jackson was sponsoring the work there. And I was there, had been there 2 years. And when I went there, I had 6 people. And during those 2 years, I had gotten some people, 30, 35. And then all of a sudden, they began to vanish. I said, you know, that's kind of like greased pigs. It went in every direction. But anyway, I ended up then, I just had what I started with. After 2 years, I had only had what I started with. And I was familiar with mission work, because I had done the work there in Jackson, and my dad was a missionary all of my life. Wherever he was pastoring, he had a mission point. I was saved up in Campton, Kentucky, in the extreme eastern mountains of Kentucky. And the day that I was saved, that afternoon, I went with him. We walked up to the mountain trail. You couldn't drive a car. The only way you could get up there was a horseback or mule or a wagon. But anyway, he didn't have either of them. Only has an old car, so we had to walk 3 miles up the mountain trail. And then he preached in an old school building and walked 3 miles back down to Campton. But the point I'm trying to say is, you see, we were familiar with mission work. I'd seen it all of my life. And back then you could get mission work started and have a church organized before too long. But I've been at it 2 years. I'm talking about being in place. I'm talking about having and giving God all you've got. So anyway, I was there in a kind of like a missionary status. I didn't do any mission. I didn't do any deputation, but my parents advised me to send out a letter. I was well known, and most of, you know, the Fortners are well known as preachers. And so we sent out a letter, and churches began to respond. And all time I was there, from the time I got to Trenton until the church was organized and was able to support me, I was supported full time by various churches. But anyway, the point I'm trying to say is that after 2 years, I was back where I started, and I began to pray about it. Lord, if I'm in the wrong place, I'm big enough to admit it, And if you'll just tell me what to do, I'll try to do it. And that, at that time, Neil came in. He was sponsored by the Berean Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. And so he asked me to go with him to the conference. And I did. And got out there. And Brother Hudson, I was teaching on the basic Bible truths. And so I got a hold to me. And I came back home. And I told my wife, I said, I'm going to give this work every ounce of strength I've got. I'm gonna bear myself in this work. And I began to pray about it, and I began to go out. I'd go out in the morning and knock on doors till noon, come in, and it was in the summertime, and I'd be soaking wet. I would take a shower, eat my lunch and rest, and go back out on the streets again all afternoon, come in at night for supper, take a bath, put on clean clothes, eat another meal, go back out till bedtime. But what I'm saying is, I told her, I said, I'm going to bury myself in this work. I'm going to give it all I've got. And then if something doesn't happen, then I'll know that I need to go somewhere else. But God began to bless it. And today we have a church. And I'm thankful for that. And now do we have a church? We're sponsoring two missionaries. We're sponsoring our son Neil in Spain, and also Brother Nathan Wheatley, our son-in-law, our grandson-in-law. But anyway, the point I'm trying to say is that all we need to do is just simply give ourselves and give our best, whatever it is, give our best. Okay, now then, we notice here, you see that we must have the presence of the Lord. Look what we see here with Gideon, going back again to our lesson, as we hear in the book of Judges, and chapter number 7 again. And look here what he's, chapter 6, verse 34. He says here, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. So we must not be afraid to fight. So they were able to blow the trumpet, but the point was the Spirit of God moved upon them. If God is in it, He'll take care of it. If He's in it, it'll work. If He's not in it, it will come to naught. And so we're grateful that we have the Spirit of the Lord to help us and take care of us and guide us through these works. So we find that we must not be afraid to fight. Here in chapter 3, you know the familiar text, how that Gideon, you see, began to work. Notice here, he says, "Now therefore go ye to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead." And there returned out of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. You know, that's kind of contrary to human nature. Because, you know, they say, well, you can't get too many people. But God said there's too many. First of all, there's 32,000. That was too many. Then he said, those that are fear, he charged them and challenged them. Those that are fearful and afraid, then go back home. And so 22,000 went back home. And they had left now 10,000 people only left over. But God said, it's still too many. Now, we're talking about, you see, being willing to fight. We're talking about every man in this place. We're seeing here, and this is a familiar lesson. In other words, I'm not preaching anything new to you. If I came here to preach anything new to you, you better ship me back to Tennessee, amen? Because it wouldn't be of the Lord. God's message is old. I mean, it's such a blessing. It never gets old. It stays new as long as time is here. But anyway, we find that we need to understand that it's a matter of being willing to do what we can, being willing to fight, being willing to do what the Lord wants us to do. Not be afraid to fight. All right. So then, you know, first of all, God wants to receive the praise. He wants the glory. Look at verse number 2. "And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands." Now notice, here it is. "Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me." So he's saying it's too many because they'll say, well, we did it. And so God wants to do the work. God wants the glory. And I'm grateful that we can say unto God be the glory. What a blessing. And that's why, you know, with our work there in Trinity, we can truly say that God gets the glory. It's His work. I mean, there was nothing there. And it just blows your mind to think about it. The fact, you know, what God can do. And when I went there, like I said, there's only six people. And the old brother was there. He's dead and gone now. His widow's still there. But he told me, he said, Brother Tom, he said, Trenton is a hard place. Trenton's an old town. It's a wealthy town. And it's a town where, I mean, they're clannish. And it's hard to get in. And it's a small town, about 5,000 people. But I mean, I had a lady that lived next door to us when I moved there. She's dead and gone now. But she told me, she said, she's a deep southerner. And she called me Brother Faulkner. She said, Brother Faulkner, I tell you right now, she said, you got a hard job because these people, she says they're clannish. And she said, it'll take you years to ever get it to be accepted in this town. But you know, what I'm trying to say is that it's so Lord's work. I went there to do a job for God. I went there, I just simply surrendered myself. I said, Lord, here I am. Just use me. Do what you have desire to do. Okay, so God didn't want them to say, look, we did this because of our strength. But He wanted them to look to Him. And so He gave them these instructions as to what to do. And first of all, they need to be ready to fight. That's the whole key. They must be ready to fight. And so He gave them the instructions. And God told them what to do, get rid of the folks that would be in the way. You see, like I said, God wanted the dedicated. Those that's not dedicated just be in the way. So He wanted just the dedicated to do the job. And so He told them, get and take the men down to the brook. And He gave them the instructions of how to divide those that were dedicated and those that were not. And He said, take them down to the brook and let them drink. And so He did. Those, when they got down to the brook to drink, some of them got out on their faces like a dog and lapped the water like a dog. But the other group, they got down there to the water and they got down on their knees and it was like getting the water, but all the time just watching for the enemy. And so God said, now you put those 300 over here to the side. Those are the ones that I'm going to use. Now, so the point is tonight, we need to be ready. You know, I like the song that we sing, Ready to Go. Ready to stay. Ready to fill my place, you see. Ready for service, lowly or great. So we need to be ready to do His will. That's what it amounts to. Just simply be ready to do the will of God, whatever it might be. I don't know what God has for me tomorrow. I know what He asked me today. I'm trying my best to fill that. And I don't worry about tomorrow because tomorrow's the Lord's. And so He's taken care of us thus far. And I rejoice in this fact. But you see, we must be aware, first of all, aware of the ability of our enemy. You know, we see a great lesson in the book of 1 Samuel 17 about David. David's one of my heroes. People ask this question, well, who's your hero in the Bible? Well, they're all heroes, you know. And David's just one of them. David was a powerful man. We see him from the very beginning, whenever God sent Samuel down to his house to choose the king. You know the story. And how Jesse had eight sons. And Jesse didn't have any idea that David would be the one because he is off out there with the flock of and the herd and the other seven was there. And whenever Samuel came on the scene, he saw Eliab, and surely Eliab must have been a specimen of a man because immediately, I mean, Samuel said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And God right quickly said to Samuel, look not on his countenance nor the height of his stature because I have refused him. It's easy to see why, because at the beginning of the next chapter, you'll find that Eliab was jealous of David. You know about that. But anyway, and so then, all these seven sons passed before Samuel, and God said, these are not the ones. And Samuel said to Jesse, do you have any more? He said, I have one out there, at least a lad. David is probably more likely just a teenager. I mean, he wasn't even full grown. And, but anyway, they called him in, and he went before Samuel, and God God said, that's the man. And so Samuel anointed David to be king. But the point I'm trying to say is David, you see, was powerful. And after that, you remember that the Israelis went to battle against the Philistines, and Jesse sent David down to see about the battle, see about his brothers. And so he sent him with some gifts and things for his brothers and also for the captains. And he got down there, and you know the story, how that Goliath was roaring against Israel. Every day he'd come out and roar against Israel and say, send me a man to fight with me. And so then of course Israel would run backwards, and David said to the people, so what's this all about? And that's when Eliab showed his color. Eliab was jealous of David and said, what you come off down here for? In other words, he was implying that David just came down there to show off. He said, you just, where'd you do those few sheep at home? And then we find that David said, is there not a cause? You know the story. We're talking about the battle of the Lord's. And we see David, he said he'd go fight the giant. And so they sent him to Saul. And I'm sure when he got to Saul, Saul thought, what have I got here? Got a teenage boy going out there to fight a 10-foot man. But anyway, and so David said, sir, you don't understand. He said, I'll take care of my father's sheep. One day, and a bear came out, and I smote him in my hands. Another time, a lion came out, a man-eater. And he said, I grabbed him by his beard and smote him with my hands. And so King Saul said, well, if you must go ahead. And so he was going to put the armor on him, and David said, I can't handle that either. I'm talking about a man that recognized the ability of his enemy. David knew who he was fighting against. So you know the story. He laid the arm aside. He took what he had, went across the valley. And so he's meeting this Goliath, the great giant. And giant was, I'm sure he was intimidated. And he said, he hollered over there and said, I'll get you and I'll kill you and feed you to the birds. But David recognized the ability of his enemy. David didn't say, I'm big enough to handle you. He didn't say, I'll do this, I'll do that. David said, my God is going to give you into my hands this day. But what I'm saying is, David knew where the ability of his enemy was, and he knew more so the ability of his God. He knew that God could handle it. And I thank God for that fact. All right, and so, you see, we must be willing to count the cost. You know, that's what Jesus said. He gave us a lesson in the book of Luke. We won't take time for that. But anyway, we must be ready to go all the way. We must be willing to give ourselves unto the Lord. You know, and these are wonderful truths. Now then, we find that God, we're talking about doing what God wants us to do. Be ready. Ready to go. Ready to stay. Now, sometimes it's hard to stay. You know, one of the hardest jobs in the world is to wait. We'd rather get at it. We'd rather go at it. But God said, sometimes He says to go, and sometimes He says to stay. So He said, ready to go, ready to stay, ready to my place to fill. I want to be ready to fill my place, wherever it may be. And I know that you are also. All right. And so, but when we go, God gives us armor. You know, we have in Ephesians chapter 6, the record of God giving us armor, as Paul talked to the Ephesians. You know the story. But anyway, the most important part is, you see, God provides the armor for the battle. He tells us to put on the whole armor of God. I won't take time to go into that, but you know what He says. And we need to take on the whole armor of God. We must be willing, you see, to do what God wants us to do. Now then, we find that God, He promises victory to those that are in their place. We're talking tonight about each man, every man being in their place. And you know, it's not within us. We don't have the ability to do. We just need to be willing to be in our place. We just need to be willing to be used of the Lord. You know, I remember when God called me to preach. Like I said, He started calling me when I was a teenager. And I didn't do it. In fact, I didn't think I could. I did not see how, under any conditions, how I could preach. Because I'm, like I said a while ago, the best part about me is my forgetter. But it didn't come along when I got old. I ain't got old. I got 13 grandkids and 7 great grandkids, but anyway, I'm not. What I'm saying is, you see, when I was a boy, I had trouble remembering things. I had my mind would I'd just forget, and I didn't really. I'm honest. I'm just telling you how it is. I didn't believe I could do it. I didn't see how under God's heaven I could preach. How can you preach when you can't remember nothing? Well, I went on to Arizona. My dad went to Arizona, did mission work, and I went out there as a teenager, didn't want to go, but I went because I respected my dad. I've always respected my dad, and he said that's where God wanted him, so I went. And I hated it. I despised it out there when I first got there, and then I got to where I loved it before I left. But anyway, as you see, I went out there, still having this burden to preach. Never, at this point, had never told anybody. Then, while I was living in Arizona, I came back and married my childhood sweetheart, who's my wife now. And so I took her back out there in Arizona. Still fight, called the preacher. But you know what? She told me later. She didn't tell me for a long time until after I started preaching. She told me, she said, when that day you proposed to me and you asked me to marry you, she said, the first thing that went through my mind, are you willing to be a preacher's wife? Isn't it amazing how God works, huh? I mean, He knows what He's doing. And I had never mentioned it. But anyway, I married her and went back to Arizona. Still bothered me. She didn't say a word. Then we moved back to Tennessee to farm with her dad and had a bad year and didn't make any money. I had to get a job. And then I went on. But anyway, I ended up in Paris, Tennessee. And on Sunday morning, in August, the last Sunday of August, 1958, I was singing in the choir. I've tried every job in the church except the pianist and organist. And I couldn't handle that. But I've been song leader, superintendent, teacher, treasurer, clerk, whatever. I did everything I could do to get that burden off my heart. But nothing gets it off. Listen, I'm talking about being in your place. My place was to preach, and I was trying to get out of it. But I was singing in the choir, and we finished up a revival meeting. I've been going to church every night, and on Sunday morning, my pastor preached, and I was so burdened, and I came out of the choir. I'm talking about being willing to get in your place. And I tell you, I came to that place, and I said, Lord, here am I. If you can use me, I'm willing. Just whatever you want, I'm willing. And I'm telling you the truth. I got to the preacher and he said, what in the world is wrong with you, Tom? In fact, I came out of the choir and came on his back, not to knock him in the floor. He said, what in the world is wrong with you? And I said, the Lord's called me to preach. And I'm telling you the truth. The joy flooded my soul, and I shouted, and there's about 400 people there that morning. I think some of them wondered where the door was. I don't think they'd ever heard anybody get excited and happy, but I tell you one thing, listen, when you get a burden like that off of you, I'm just talking about doing the will of God. I'm talking about being in God's place. I had no idea what God was going to do, but I know one thing. I had carried that burden as far as I could carry it. I'm talking about standing in my place, and all I did was say, Lord, here am I, send me. Just like Isaiah. I couldn't do it, knew I couldn't do it. I had all those years behind me, about 5 years or more. I had been fighting against this burden, but I got to the place I had to do something with it. And I just simply surrendered to the Lord, and I said, here am I, Lord, send me. And so, now notice we hear, you see, God promises victory for those that are in their place. Think about that now. Look here with us here in chapter 7. And you know, after God gave Gideon the instructions about what to do, divide the people in three companies, these 300, now it's 300 men out of 32,000. That's a pretty big cut. But you see, God was proving to them that He was doing the job. God's able to do the job. And so, if we'll just submit to Him, like I said about Trenton, Tennessee, Brother Parker said, it's a hard place. There's not any easy ones, but he said it's a hard place. But all we had to do was we just preached the Word. When I went to Jackson, Tennessee, I was, you know, sometimes people really encourage you. One guy told me, he said, well, Brother Tom, the way you preach, you'll never build a church. Well, I don't know about that, but God did build a church. Amen. Built a powerful church at one time there in Jackson. We were supporting 32 missionaries. But anyway, we left there, went to training and preaching the same way, just the same old preaching. You know, I don't know how to preach. I just get up and dump it. That's all I know to do. It's God's Word, and God's Word is all we need. He takes care of it, and I rejoice in that. So God, He promises victory for those that's in their place. We notice here in verse number 19 that every man had a trumpet. Look at verse 19. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. A very simple remedy, but it's God's work. It's people being in their place and doing as they are instructed. Thank God for instructors. Thank God for pastors. I know you love your pastor and appreciate him. It's a blessing. And folks at Berea love me and appreciate me. They're so good to me. And I thank God for that. And I went to the hospital a few months ago and I was having some chest pains. And anyway, I got a heart cath and the doctor told me wasn't wrong with my arteries. But anyway, then I got back to church and they wanted to know what the doctor said. I told him and they said, what did he say caused it? He said, I told him that all that doctor said was that all he could think of was probably stress and fatigue. And so they said, okay, we'll take care of that. So they hired me an associate. I've got an associate pastor and he told me, he said, I'll do anything that you want me to do. But anyway, what I'm saying is, you see, it's just a matter of being in your place. Doing what God wants you to do. And it's such a joy. And so a pastor is a blessing. Thank God for good pastors. They're a blessing to the church. And I know that you know that. But anyway, I love to talk about pastors because I'm a pastor. And I've been a pastor for 47 years. I mean, I told you about surrendering to preach that morning in August of 1958. And then I preached all over West Tennessee there for just a few months. And then I was called to my first church and got ordained. And so I've been preaching ever. And you know, in all these 47 years after I was called to my first church, I've only been without a church one Sunday. And that's the day that they call me pastor over Emmanuel Baptist in Murray, Kentucky. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is that it's just a matter of being willing to be in place. Just doing what God wants you to do. Just be yourself. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Okay, I know God don't call everybody to preach. He calls a few men, no women. But anyway, He has a plan, and you can't improve on God's plan. Somebody said, I know Sister so-and-so can preach. I said, you can't do it. Because God says she can't. But anyway, I know you know that, but I just had to throw it out. Because it's the truth. Thank God for good women. Thank God for godly women. My mother was a godly woman, one of the best Sunday school teachers I've ever heard in my life. My wife is a godly woman. She's a tremendous Sunday school teacher, and she teaches like my mother did. But anyway, what I'm saying is they have their place, and they know their place, and they want to stay in their place, and you do the same. But God has a plan, and I thank God for it. His plan will work if we'll just simply surrender to Him. So God gave them a plan, a very simple plan. I mean, He gave them this. He told them here, In verse number 19, they were to take a trumpet, and they were to have a pitcher, and they were to have a light, and so they were to blow their trumpets. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to blow our trumpet. This is our trumpet. Just use the Word of God. I tell you, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter it grows. And I thank God for the Word of God. There's power in this book. There's power in this Word. You know, I'm thank God for the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul said there in the book of Romans that he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There's power in the Word. All God wants us to do is to blow the trumpet. Thank God we can blow the trumpet for the glory of God. Be a witness for the Lord. And so we need to love the Word of God. We need to live the Word of God. We need to believe the Word of God. We need to proclaim the Word of God. And God has promised to bless His Word. I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful that there'll always be some people around that love God's Word. And Thank God for that. We appreciate your love for God's Word. You want me to preach God's Word. Brother Reynolds told me, he said, all we ask you to do is just preach the Word of God, and I'm grateful for that. All right. Now then, not only did everyone have a trumpet, but everyone let his light shine. You know, we can see there in verse 20, the three companies blew the trumpets, break the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. All God wants us to do is to let our light shine. He didn't tell us to make it shine. He said, let it shine. I mean, you know, we have a song we sing with the kids. This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. So anyway, God wants us to let our light shine. Jesus commissioned us to in the book of Matthew chapter 5. He said, let your light shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So as I said, He didn't command us to make it shine. In other words, when God saved me, He put a light in here. God saved me in 1945. That's a long time longer, and some of you are old. I know that. And I'm an antique. Thank God for that. Been saved all these years. Been saved about 60 years. And it's a joy, as I said, and the longer I serve Him, the sweeter it gets. And I mean, the longer I preach, the sweeter it gets. I was talking to someone, yesterday. I came through Clinton, Kentucky, visited with my cousin and his wife, and some folks there introduced me to them, and I told them, and I was telling them how old I was, and they said, well, I had no idea you was that old. But anyway, I told them, I said, the longer I serve the Lord, the sweeter it gets. And I said, I told them, I said, I can retire, but I don't want to retire. My church don't want me to retire, so I'm not going to retire. I'm just going to preach. Amen? But anyway, I want to retire when I need to. When I get to where I can't do the job, I want to be big enough to bow out gracefully, not have to just drag around and tear a church up. But I want to be what God wants me to be. Amen? Just be a servant of the Lord, be used of Him as He sees fit. So we just need to let our light shine. You know, some people need a chimney cleaning. You know, I grew up, I started out before the electric lights came along. I told you I was an antique. I remember when I used to have lamps on the kitchen table. I remember going to the barn, Daddy milked cows, and he'd take a lantern at night to milk the cows. But you know those old lanterns and those old lamps would have, the chimneys would get dirty, amen? And I can remember my dad getting the chimney down and taking a rag and wiping it, you know, he wiped it till it squeaked. You remember that? And when it squeaked, you knew it was clean, amen? So what I'm saying tonight is a lot of people need to have a chimney cleaning, amen? To clean our chimneys out and get all the cobwebs out and get everything cleaned out where we can feel the Lord working in our heart like He wants us to. You see, like He wants to work through us. All right, so every person, let his light shine for the glory of God. And so you see, when we let our light shine, we'll put the devil on the move. Listen, there's one thing the devil don't like, and that's the Word. He don't like the Word of God, and it'll put him on the run. Now then, as you see, in closing, we want to say, as we think about this now, every person stood in their place around about the camp, and God gave the victory. Look at verse 21. And they stood every man in his place around about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. When everybody stood in their place. That's all God wants us to do. He don't expect us to do the job, do the work. He just expects us to stand in our place, and He does the work. And when He does the work, it'll be done well. Thank God for that. It's such a joy. Like I said, it's exciting to serve the Lord. You know, I used to preach the Word and try to bless it. I learned a long time ago that all God wants me to do is to preach it, and He blesses it. God will bless His Word. Oh, the Word of God is such a blessing. It's a thrill to our soul. And I'm grateful to God tonight for this great truth. Thank God for this fact. Every man standing in their place. So the question is tonight, what is it that God wants me to do? Where does He want me to stand? You know, I read a lesson years ago in a little book I don't know what grade I was in the early years of my schooling. Read this little lesson about this young boy that is overseas, I believe, maybe in Europe, I don't know. But anyway, they had a dike, And this little fellow was having a flood, and he recognized that this hole was getting bigger, and he didn't know what to do. So anyway, to make a long story short, he stood there all night in the cold and the wet, and held his hand over in the hole, and was able to save the village. And the next morning they found him. But the point was, he just did what he could. All he could do was stand there and hold that, because he was afraid if he left it and went down into the village, that before he could get back, they could get back, it'd be too big. But he stopped, he held there and stopped that from washing away. So the point was, he just simply stood in his place. So that's all God wants us to do. Just do what we can and be what God wants us to be for His honor and for His glory. And when we get in His place, when we're faithful in our place, you see that He puts us, then He does the work. He gives the victory. And I'm thankful for that. So we want to be okay with the invitation tonight. Whatever God wants you to do. As the song leader comes and the pianist comes, we want to just give you an opportunity to do what God wants you to do. Be whatever you have you to be. Like I said, I don't know what God wants. I know what He wants me to do. And I'm trying my best to do it. I'm at Berea Baptist Church. But I want you to know I'm open. Whenever God makes it known to me that He's finished for me, I want to be willing to just step aside and let them go on and do the job that God has for them. But as long as He wants me there, I want to be there. I want to be faithful, just simply standing in my place. Like I said, I love my people. God's been good to us. And I just get up there and preach to them. I got all kinds of people to preach to. Folks in our church, some of them used to be other denominations, and from all different walks of life. But God has saved them, and they come together, and they're kind of like little birds that got their mouth open, waiting for the mama to bring them a worm. And that, you know, it's such a joy to feed them, because they are there, because they've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and they're feasting upon the Word of God. So tonight, what is it God have each of us to do? Let's stand together while we sing number 1.